Everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. I'm commenting on the Russo-Ukrainian war, and my goodness, how long has it been going on for now? So well over 2.5 years, more like 2 years, 7 months just about. And there's been constant debate about escalation, that if Ukraine's allies were to furnish Ukraine with certain weapon systems, that Russia then would take action against those benefactors of Ukraine. And really, since Putin proclaimed his so-called special military operation, he's been threatening this, said that if anybody tried to interfere, there'd be a lightning-fast reaction. And people were worried. I was frightened to begin with. Would there be a nuclear strike? Considering I live not too far from the center of London, I thought that was it. I'd be vaporized immediately. I remember telling some of my Russian pupils at the time, who were sort of like laughing with terror about it. Didn't know how to react to it, really. I realized, obviously, now that he's not going to do that. I didn't think he would do it, but there was like, you know, a 1% chance. And if that 1% comes to pass, that's it. We're toast. Obviously, so is Russia. But you obviously got to disbelieve this. Take it with a fistful of salt, like everything else he says. Like Putin says that he's won free and fair elections, like that Russia's got the freest media in the world, that he had nothing to do with the murder of Litvinenko. He had nothing to do with the murder of Anna Politkovskaya, that Russia is a model democracy, things like that. That he was not threatening Ukraine in 2023, that he had not invaded Ukraine, that there is no war in Ukraine, that he would never claim a centimeter of Ukrainian territory, that no Russian conscripts would be sent to Ukraine. There's lie after lie after lie after lie unblushingly told, just shameless, endless lies, fire hose of lies, faster than you can possibly deal with them. And this is yet another one. Now, he is a pathetic little bully. He's someone who rules by fear, terrorizing his population and trying to terrify the world with the threat of a nuclear Armageddon. And he's been quite successful in doing so, in playing on these fears. We don't think he's that crazy, but we're not sure. What if he is? That madman theory. Don't provoke him, because, you know, even if we so-called win a nuclear war in Western countries, that's still tens of millions of people dead, at least. Tens of millions, you know, several metropolises reduced to radioactive ash. That is not an ideal outcome. Which is worse, Ukraine is annexed to Russia or the end of the human race? Well, I have no difficulty answering that question. Anyway, and that's why Putin's trying to frighten us, that he really is that crazy. I was asked by a Russian interviewer saying, but I mean, you know, you're not going to go nuclear, are you? And pausing for like 8 seconds. And they'd be saying, but you're scaring me, saying, well, it's meant to. And prominently carrying the nuclear pillar, one of his aides, everywhere, so he could do the launch codes at a moment's notice. Wow. And there are no checks and balances in Russia. This is by his fiat. So every time weapon systems were provided, you know, tanks, armored personnel carriers, infantry fighting vehicles, howitzers, whatever, all this aid, he said, oh, this is escalatory. But they did nothing about it. I mean, diplomats were expelled. But what capacity did they have to do anything about it? They couldn't even defend Kursk Oblast. So how on earth are they going to be able to attack Western countries? They got their work cut out. Something like 97% of the Russian military is in European Russia. And a high majority of that is actually in Ukraine already. So they just have no capacity. They don't have the manpower. Is that sexist? Well, the troop levels, right, to attack NATO countries. And so when F-16s were provided, when Storm Shadows were provided by France and the United Kingdom, they were saying this is escalatory. But, you know, they've done nothing about it, and they can't do anything about it. So what can they do if they can't defeat, you know, Ukraine with 40 million people? How are they going to defeat NATO with 800 million people? And the kill power of NATO is multiples and multiples of what Ukraine has. Obviously, it's got nuclear powers. So that's why I realized that they're not going to do that. And let's take an example when there was military action actually was taken against Russia in 2015, the end of that year, when a Russian military aircraft, which had been bombing ISIS position Syria, entered Turkish airspace momentarily, just for a few seconds, and was shot down. I think at the moment this missile struck, was it back in Syrian airspace or something like that? And Putin was deeply hacked off about that, but all he did was to cancel civilian flights between Russia and Turkey to hurt the Turkish tourist sector. But there was no military action, and he made best buddies with Erdogan only a couple of years later. So he moved on quite quickly as part of his anti-democratic axis. And even Turkey's not as bad as Russia. So that's why We've seen that Russia is a paper tiger. Their technology doesn't work that well. They use even their Kinjal missiles. Some of them being shot down. You know, it means dagger meant to be just so fast. It can't be shot down. How shoddy it is. A lot of the cream of their military has been destroyed. Well, been, you know, paratroopers have been killed. You know, their more modern generation tanks, infantry fighting vehicles and everything. Armored personnel carriers destroyed, getting out these museum pieces, which don't really work. Their production is nowhere near meeting the rate of loss. They can't export, partly because they just got no spares to export. Moreover, it's been that they're demonstrably inferior, so much inferior to the Western kit. So that's why I think that there's really nothing to worry about, because what are they going to do? What can they do? And that's why there have been all these rumors in the media, not denied by His Majesty's government, that the United Kingdom has granted Ukraine belatedly permission to use these Storm Shadows deep into Russia. So not in Russian occupied Ukraine, but in the Russian Federation itself. And they can go hundreds of kilometers, putting more air bases in particular in danger, because, you know, that often the Russian missiles, rockets, so on, the fired at Ukraine are launched from aircraft. And so there's so many of them, and you can't shoot them all down. Then if enough air defense missiles, but if you destroy the plane that fires them, then that's actually, you're solving the problem at source. And, you know, these missiles, $100,000 per pop. These missiles, the planes are several million dollars ago, at least. That's a cheap one, as well as the air crew, whatever, the air base itself. Okay, the runway can be rebuilt not too long, but other facilities and some of the people who repair the planes and so on, these technicians are highly skilled or very difficult to replace. They're not maybe with their skill set, or it takes some years to train them up. So that will be a major problem for them, having to move these things further out of range, fire from further away, more likely to be shot down and so on. So force the Russians to move their assets much further back out of range, make their logistic nightmare worse. Okay, and then ATACMS provided by the United States, longer range ones. They've been using quite short range ones, JASMs and so on. You know, if this decision had been taken 2.5 years ago, the war might be over by now. Tens of thousands of lives would have been saved. It would have saved Russian lives too. And so being too pussyfooted has actually cost a lot of innocent lives. And you just prolong the agony by denying Ukraine this decisive advantage. And you take them down that Kerch Strait bridge, that could have been done on day one. And it's much more difficult to supply Crimea by air. All those planes are vulnerable if they're flying in. They're probably not going to have supplies flown in. And you can only fly in so many tons. There's a very limited number of cargo aircraft. By ship, you know, all those ships in the Sea of Azov or even the Western Black Sea are in range of the Ukrainians. So those could be sent to the bottom. And there was actually a Ukrainian cargo ship carrying grain for Egypt that was damaged by the Russians recently. So obviously Russian seaborne commerce could be sent to Davy Jones's locker as well. So far as I know, the Ukrainians have actually not attempted that so far. Would that be escalatory? Would that be illegal? Anyway, the beginning of the war, I really thought that Putin might go nuclear, you know, a small nuclear weapon used in Ukraine, tactical nuclear weapon, which of course you blame on the Ukrainians. He's preparing the script. The pretext was the United States and Ukraine are developing nuclear weapons in Ukraine. There was no evidence of that whatsoever. Ukraine actually had nuclear weapons, gave them away for free to Russia in return for these security guarantees. You see what those guarantees are worth. It's like Putin's blurry red lines. But one thing is, just because he hasn't lived up to his rhetoric in the past doesn't prove that he won't do so in future. I know the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior, but behavior can change. Would he genuinely be pushed too far this time? Of course, it's all his own fault. He brought it on himself. Nobody was talking about providing these weapons to Ukraine before the war started. Ukraine never claimed an inch of Russian territory before the war, but they don't even claim it's their land now. They never crossed into Russia. He never pretended that the Ukrainians had crossed into Russia. They'd never fired a bullet at Russia until he started this illegal war of unprovoked aggression. No, arguably started way back in 2014. So that's why I think people are being just a bit too cautious about this. And excessive caution is dangerous, as you can see, is letting him off the hook, letting him get away with it. So this war could end if the cost of the war over Russia is so high, they realize they can't prosecute the war. I mean, outright victory for Ukraine, I find that very hard to see that coming, recovering all the territory. The other things, obviously the Russians have kidnapped tens of thousands of Ukrainian civilians, mostly children. And to get them all back is quite a big thing. You might say, well, you can have your children back, but not your land. For Russia to recognize, genuinely recognize Ukraine as independent, I don't see that happening for a generation or more. Ukraine being allowed into NATO. Obviously, that's not up to Russia, but they claim to have a veto on it. Ukraine doesn't have a veto on Russian foreign policy, so why should the reverse apply? Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.